Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
You gotta get bored by baseball.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Hey, listen, if you want to compete, if you want to contend in the major leagues, you should have good starting pitching. That's my takeaway from this season. It's not even a question. You want examples? Go look at the top teams when it comes to ERA, combined ERA, and see how they're doing. Red Sox, Phillies, Royals, Mariners, Yankees, Tigers, Cubs, Dodgers, Braves, Orioles. Those are your top 10 ERA leaders, and yes, they are all good. Go down to the bottom. Rockies, White Sox, Marlins, Astros, all of them. You know, so you go through that list and you get a trend. Get good starting pitching. So today's podcast, we're going to talk to one of the best acquisitions when it came to free agent starters there is in the game. And I think one of the most interesting ones too, Jordan Hicks of the San Francisco Giants. Obviously, Jordan was a reliever for a long, long time, said, I want to be a starter. Some team said, all right, we'll give it a whirl. Not a lot, but some teams did. And those teams were smart. Giants were smart. 4 years, $44 million. I am proclaiming one of the best free agent signings so far of the year. Right now, Jordan has a 1.59 ERA, 181 batting average against, has been dominant in his 6 starts with the Giants. It's great sitting down and talking to Jordan. And after you hear from Jordan, we're going to resurface another conversation I had about another free agent starter. Now, as good as Jordan's been, this guy has to be the best free agent signing of the offseason, certainly among pitchers. Shota Imanaga. Shota, once again, dominant, 7 shutout innings against the Mets. His ERA right now, 0.78. So Kyle Hendricks, his teammate, I talked to about the uniqueness of Shota Imanaga, and I just felt like it was a good time to surface that after we talked to Jordan Hicks. All right, I appreciate everybody. Subscribe, rate, review. At BB Isn't Boring. I thought we had a great podcast yesterday with Julie McWilliams, who newest member of the Baseball Isn't Boring family, and with the Eye Test. I love the name of his podcast, the Eye Test. Every week, Julian's gonna be telling us what's what. Very opinionated, very good. All right, go check that out from yesterday. But it's another way to get through this week. With more baseball talk, with another great interview. I really enjoyed sitting down with Jordan Hicks. So here you go. Here's Jordan Hicks, followed by Kyle Hendricks talking about Shota Imanaga. All right. There's nobody I'd rather talk to right now.
Really?
Jordan.
I appreciate that.
It's true. It's true. So congratulations on everything so far.
Thank you.
And has I know this is sort of a new challenge and adjustment. I know you probably talk a lot about this. But what has been the thing that has been the most surprising for you, if there has been anything? Maybe pleasantly surprising. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's really probably splitter command. But that's also something I really worked hard at. So I wouldn't say it's like a big surprise. I always knew, like, with the depth it had, if I can get it in the zone more consistently, that it would be a really competitive pitch. So if there's any surprises, I'd say that's probably the one. But, I mean, deep down, I knew what I was capable of. Like, I had a few good starts in 2022 that really gave me hope to go after this role. And I feel like it's going pretty good so far. I got a good routine going, and just want to keep going out there and giving my team a chance to win.
When did it take root? Like, when did, obviously, like you said, you had the idea of it, I can do this, but for you it was like, okay, you know what, I know this is what I want to do heading into the 2024.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2024 free agency going into the season, like I told my agents, we can explore both back in the bullpen and starting rotation roles. But I prefer to be a starter. That's what I've always wanted to do. And so if any teams are interested in that, like, make that the priority. And I feel like they did a great job at that. Kind of feeling out the reliever market, got a good sense of where the number was going to be, and then feeling out the starter market, had a couple narrowed down to a few teams. And, yeah, that's basically when I knew that there was hope that a team would give me a shot. You know, I could always want to do it, but the organization has to be willing to take a shot on that.
Now, I know, so, for instance, we're sitting here at Fenway Park. I know the Red Sox were one of these teams. How many teams, or you don't have to say exactly, but were you pleasantly surprised at how many teams, like, okay, yeah, let's do this?
Is that a known fact that the Red Sox were in?
I know it.
Oh, okay. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. There was a few teams out there that were willing to give me that shot and that opportunity. I'm very grateful for the Giants. Came through with a good number, and it's a great organization to be a part of, and I'm just really blessed to be here.
But beyond, was there, in terms of team's interest, because, you know, you could go in and one could be like one team, like, oh, yeah, we'll give it a shot, but obviously there was more than that.
Yeah, there was a few teams, like probably three, four.
Yeah, so that's good, though, right? I mean, but that's when you venture out into this new thing, is. Yeah. I mean, you don't. It's a new world, right?
It is the unknown, for especially on their side of things. But, like, deep down, like I said, I'm a competitor, so I believe in that more than anything. And I've always, every time I had a good outing, I'm like, dang, I wish I could still be out there right now. And just kind of tease the manager, like, hey, let me build the pitch count up right here. I'm already at 35, two innings. Like, let me keep going. But they jokingly would say, oh, I wish, or like, something like that, you know.
Is there anybody, this is a cliche question, but is there anybody you sort of picked your brains up? I know you had done it before, but then when you go in to, you know, both feet first.
Yeah. I mean, I got a whole handful of starters I got to learn from in St. Louis and watch them grow in their careers. And then when I got traded to the Blue Jays, I got to silently watch Gausman kind of pick his brain on the splitter. He didn't throw it in the bullpen, so I'd just have to watch it in game, how he mixed it. And I know a big thing for him was getting that sinker down, and that helped the splitter the most. Was when he had the sinker down in the zone, and I can relate to that. Whenever my sinker's down in the zone, it's actually the splitter that opens up the sinker not being swung at. That makes sense.
When you're talking to teams, you say, hey, listen, I think my splitter is going to be a difference maker. I mean, you had some of the sample size, obviously, you go to Toronto, but this is, it's not a guy who just throws hard. It's not a guy who just throws. This is going to be a difference maker.
Yeah. Well, last year it was like the difference maker was the four seam. Adding that in, my strikeout numbers went way up. With the splitter, but I'd say I threw the splitter way more in 2019.
Yeah,
and that's where I really was like, okay, this pitch is disgusting to lefties. Yeah. Now I can throw it to both righties and lefties. But I think the four seam last year with mix of the splitter, like, that was the biggest thing for me. And then I saw the results, and I brought that into the offseason. And in these meetings, Zoom meetings with teams and stuff, I brought them my whole I got a sinker, I got a four seam, I got a slider, kind of two different sliders really, and I got a splitter that I believe that will be a really good pitch. So them knowing I had confidence in four pitches right out the gate, I think that helps with them making that decision.
And when you prepare in the off season, when you're locking in this in, is it how dramatically different is it for you?
Like working on those two new pitches?
Yeah, I mean, you're like, you know, you're hitting the ground running as a starter, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's. I know relievers prepare one way, and starters usually prepare another.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the build up in the off season was pretty similar. It's more about when you get to that spring training, like you start building past two innings in a game, you start throwing live BPs for probably before the games, two innings in live BP, and then just kind of build up from there. I feel like the biggest difference is once you make that second to third inning jump. Usually relievers aren't doing that, so you kind of chill at that three inning 45-50 pitch mark for two outings, maybe get a feel for it, how you're recovering, all those things mix in, good communication with the training staff and the coaching staff, and so far it's gone really well, just build up wise.
You know, the splitter thing, I probably didn't cross paths with Brian Banister, who used to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had conversations with him about, he's like, the splitter is one of the unrated pitches.
It's the best pitch in baseball.
Right. And so the false narrative, I think, in the United States was that, oh, it's going to hurt your arm, it's going to hurt your arm. And there's no evidence that that's going to happen. And then, you know, like, to your point, the Japanese pitchers, like, they have, since they were born, if they're born, yeah, they're learning to throw this pitch.
And that's where I was probably going to go with this. I did get hurt the year I started throwing it, but I feel like if you practice it in the off season and like get more reps instead of just going from, oh, I'm throwing 103, let me mix in a splitter here mid season, see if it works, and I'm ripping it at 90. Yeah. You know, now it's about 83, 87. It's a little less volatile on my arm. But also, I really do think it's probably the best pitch in baseball right now.
Crazy.
If you have a good fastball, command with it, and maybe something else.
Yeah.
It's just one of those pitches you can't sit on, or the fastball will blow right by you.
Yeah.
And then even if you sit on it, it's just hard to time up.
How much better is it now? How much better is yours now than, like, say, you know, I don't know.
I mean,
August last year.
Yeah, my last outing, I got 8 of my 9 punchies on it, and it's just the command in the zone with it. It's really a game-changing pitch for me. I think without the command, it still adds a little bit of like, okay, I know this is in his repertoire. But with the command, it's like, how are we going to hit this? I've seen other guys, like Marlon's young guy, he throws a splitter with a 98-mile-per-hour sinker and a great slider. And I had a hitting coach, like, hey, what do I tell our hitters? Like, how are we going to hit this? And what am I supposed to say? And I'm like, hey, just got to wait him out, I guess.
There must be some satisfaction, and maybe there's not. Tell me I'm stupid for saying this, but to go from guy like, you go up to Baseball Savant and there's hicks, 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 100, 100, 100, 100. But then to like say, okay, you know what? As you just point out,
yeah,
yeah, well, I got all these punch outs, yeah, on a different pitch.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a conscious decision to start to throw a little less hard for me. And like, even in my bullpens back in the day, like minor league bullpens, even just when I would touch the rubber as a reliever, anytime I really knocked the velocity down, like my command just went through the roof comparatively, yeah, to where it is at 100. And I think that's just feeling your body, knowing your mechanics, and when you're going all out all the time, it's easy to get out of those mechanics because everything's happening so fast. When you're moving a little bit slower, it's the same mechanics, but you just have a lot more time to make sure, like, oh, I get my foot down, I rotate, but you're not thinking about it at the same time. You know, it's just the mechanics are naturally there, but your body has more time to.
It's so hard, though, man. Like, you know, so a history lesson for this podcast. So Joe Kelly was the one he's the godfather of this podcast,
yeah,
and he was a perfect example of this, right? He always like, okay, you know, 100, 100, 100. He went to the Dodgers and said, you know what your best pitch is? Knuckle curve.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're raised a certain way, it's different.
Exactly. I mean, I grew up around a bunch of fireballers in the Cardinals organization, like Sandy Alcantara, Junior Fernandez, Ryan Helsley. Dakota Hudson was throwing like 99 back then. So we had a bunch of guys just hurling it in the minors, and it's kind of who you look up to when those guys are above you. It's like, how'd he move up? Oh, he's throwing really hard and didn't really have great command, but you kind of you figure out real quick that's kind of almost your ticket to, like, moving up.
Right. Well, that's how
the command will come later.
Yeah.
I think that's how teams look at it, but if you have the arm strength and the capability of throwing some nasty off-speed, you're going to have a pretty good chance.
Last thing is, are you having fun? I mean, it's good when a plan works out.
Dude, I mean, this is the most fun I've ever had playing baseball, so I knew that's what it would be for me, because just, like I said, being out there for more pitches, every time I had a good outing, I was like, dang, I still want to be out there, and because your stuff, it's not always perfect, it's not always like great stuff, but when it is, you want to be out there just dominating and doing your thing, having fun, and that's what it's all about for me. I think the next couple of years should be really fun, and hopefully we get a ring or two, so it'll be fun.
All right, we'll see you in Dallas. You know, it's Dallas All-Star Game.
All right.
Good stuff from Jordan. We appreciate him sitting down. Now, the other top free agent signing, in terms of pitchers anyway, Shota Ibanaga. I thought it was going to be interesting to use one of the most articulate, one of the most insightful, one of the most educated pitchers in baseball to break down exactly what we're seeing with Shota Ibanaga. So that's why Kyle Hendricks, he didn't disappoint. But look at what Ibanaga is doing. It's pretty incredible. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, 7 innings, shutout innings, one walk, 7 strikeouts, just 3 hits. That's coming off 6 1/3, giving up 1 run. That's 6 innings, 3 runs. 5 1/3, 1 run. His first 2 starts of his major league campaign, 6 innings, no run, 4 innings, no runs. It all leads to, as we said before, a 0.78 ERA. All right. If you want the mystery of Shota Ibanaga and want to get to know about him just a little bit more, here you go. Here's Kyle Hendricks.
When you hear that the Cubs have interest in Shota, you probably look into him a little bit. You like pitching, and you like, you know, we all like pitching.
For sure.
What is the thing that when you start looking into him that first was top of mind? I guess that's where I'll start. What was the first impression of him when you started looking into him?
Yeah. Honestly, tried to just get a little surface information. You know, didn't really try and make too many judgments from the start. I like getting to know somebody and really see them in person, see how they're playing, you know, how their stuff plays against hitters. But the thing that jumped out, just video preliminary, was just the fastball, you know, how well the fastball plays, how much he uses it, how well he gets outs just with that. And then the whole repertoire to go behind it, you know, he just mixes speeds, mixes locations so well with some elite stuff. You see how his stuff plays in the zone. He attacks guys. He's able to go to chase from that because, you know, he's established his stuff in the zone. It's just, obviously, his mind for pitching is extremely developed, you know, so it's just cool to see guys like that and now be able to talk to them just about how they go about pitching, what things they look for, what their thoughts are sometimes when they're out there. It's just cool to connect on with those type of pitchers in general and just see their mentality.
So, because I like to geek it out, so let's talk about that. Like, let's talk about something that you learned from him in some of the conversations, because he said, this is part of the fun of pitching. We watch it, and then we talk to people, and then we learn. So what were some of the things that you've learned?
I would say one of the most interesting things was, you know, for myself, the type of pitcher I am, I'm always trying to make every pitch almost appear the same, you know, tunneling or whatever it is, and trying to make it appear the same out of my hand. So a lot of times you're taught, like, have the same thought with your grips, you know, like throw a curveball like your fastball. Just get the hand position out there, let the grip do the job. It's funny talking to him that he actually says that he has a different thought kind of about every pitch that he has. So if it's a slider, you know, he's thinking get around it maybe, or his fastball is just stay underneath it, let it ride. Like he'll put different thoughts to each pitch, which was an interesting, you know.
So it's not obsession with I have to tunnel this pitch.
No. He just wants to make each pitch consistently that pitch.
Okay.
So he has whatever that feel is, whatever that thought for that particular pitch. That's what he tries to ride with, and it could change throughout, you know, throughout the week or the season, whatever it may be. But it was just very interesting. Yeah, I'm sure he still is tunneling, you know, as an effect. Well,
without even knowing it.
Exactly.
Probably, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Without even knowing it, and not without being his focus, which is super interesting, because clearly his heater and his split play off each other, and the breaking ball off of that, they must, because just from seeing the swings he gets.
Well, that's the thing. So you mentioned the fastball. I mean, we're looking for the unique pitches, right? Mm-hmm. This guy has the ghost fork or whatever. Yeah, you know, we're all looking for the pitching ninja unique pitches.
Yep.
For you, what is the most, he has unique pitches, but what is the most unique pitch he has?
That's interesting. That's a tough one. I would think right now is fastball. Mm-hmm. Between his fastball and his split, both. I think the fastball numbers and metrics are somewhat unique. The hop, the ride he gets on it, the fact that we can measure that now. But the swings that I see on his split and that make it seem
which
like...
Which is a huge... I mean, we can look at spin, we can look at everything.
Yes.
Ultimately, eye test, right?
100%. Yeah. At the end of the day, the hitter tells you everything you need to know. So I take huge stock in that. So seeing the reactions and the swings he gets on his split, even in zone and the bad contact he's getting, just shows how much respect they have to have for the fastball, number one, but also just how well that must play. You know, it must look like his heater sells it with that conviction, and the terrible swings you get off it are just, it's fun to watch, to be honest.
It is, and the last thing is, it's cool. You've had a lot of teammates, like you've, you know, talked to pitching with a lot of guys, but it's cool when probably somebody gets dropped in, and you're like, oh, all right, this guy looks at it a different way, and also is good.
100%, 100%. Yeah. It's always cool seeing different perspectives, meeting new guys. Just everyone definitely has their own unique way of going about their craft. But clearly, being in a certain environment, you get taught a lot of the similar things.
Yeah.
So it's having someone come in from complete outside, completely different arena in a lot of ways, just seeing what the coaching is, what cues, what things they've learned or what fundamentals they've kind of stuck with throughout their whole career could be different than a lot of the things that we learn.
So is there something that, like, you, like, everyone's different, but is there something that you have tangibly taken away and used?
For myself and my learning, my fundamentals, I try to keep it very simple. I would say the mental approach of the thought of just making a good pitch, not trying to be perfect, just making a good pitch in that situation, moving on to the next pitch. But outside of that, I mean, I stick to the fundamentals of pitching. You got to get ahead of guys, got to get the leadoff hitters out, you got to get soft contact, you got to pitch off your fastball.
Yeah.
So even a guy that doesn't throw with velocity, I guess, it's taken more time than most to really trust my fastball and know that I have to use it so well and get outs with it. That's been probably
the
biggest thing.
Which is, so we talk about Shota, like, in all these different things, ultimately it comes back to strike one with your fastball.
100%. It's always about that. There's some certain fundamentals of pitching that's cool to see, too. That's with Shota. You know, you learn that there really are universal fundamentals of pitching, and you learn that from talking to guys like that, and that's one of them. Strike one, getting a leadoff hitter out. Some things will never change.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.